Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15 and 1 Thessalonians 4. So 1 Corinthians 15 and 1 Thessalonians 4. Just put a mark in 1 Thessalonians 4. We'll be there in just a few minutes. But I was thinking as we're coming to a close with our study, this study on the end times and what we'll see in this world in the end times. And we covered a lot of things. We covered a lot of topics and a lot of things. Last week we looked at Israel in the end times and things like that. And so I've noticed that throughout this series, I've made mention of this. You know, these are signs and things that we're going to see before the second coming of Christ, but we are looking forward to the rapture. And so I figured a fitting way to close this out would be to look at the rapture. So we're not looking at signs because we know that we know and believe in an imminent return of the Lord. There's nothing that has to happen for him to come and rapture us home. And so there's no signs for that. We're just waiting for it. And of course, we know that the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, but he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And we know that he's got a perfect timetable. And so we're just waiting. And so this morning, we're just going to look at the events, when that day comes, when the trump sounds and the voice of the archangel is heard and we are raptured to be with the Lord. So we're going to look at that this morning just a little bit. So if you're in 1 Corinthians 15, to keep everything in context, I'm going to start reading in verse number 34. We'll start in verse number 34. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or of some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one flesh, one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. By the way, that's a great verse to refute evolution. So if you're ever looking for a verse that can definitively talk about that there's definitely a difference in the bodies, in the flesh, this verse is it. Oh, and of course, we have Genesis 1 and 2 as well. But verse number 40, there are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun and another glory of the moon and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man Adam was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy, and the second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy, and as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Amen. We will bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this time we can have this morning. Thank you for this Sunday school hour. Father, we do ask you, Lord, to just be with this time, be with the different classes around this building, Lord, and just teachers and students alike. Father, I just pray that your word would go forth. I pray, Lord, that people would grow in wisdom and knowledge. And, Lord, just be with the kids downstairs. Help them be attentive. Be with the teachers. Give them wisdom. And, Father, I pray that you'd be with our time here today, Lord. And may this message just be an encouragement to us, Lord. And if there's someone here this morning that may not know you as Savior and may not be assured of their salvation, may today be the day that they get that taken care of. Father, thank you for your word, and thank you for this topic. Thank you for this, what we can know from your word that is going to take place. And Lord, we just look forward to it. In Jesus' name, amen. So these verses, obviously, they talk about us, the change that's going to take place. And I don't know about you, but I'm sure glad that we're not going to go into eternity in these bodies. You know, I'm glad that we're going to get a glorified body. I'm glad that the effects of sin are going to be done away with. I'm glad that there are not going to be any glasses, hearing aids, canes, crutches, or anything like that in heaven. It's all going to be it's going to be glorious. And those bodies are going to be changed. Our bodies are going to be changed. And here he refers to it, and he gives us the illustration of the grain of wheat. You know, it goes into the ground, and literally that grain dies, and it brings forth from that dying process, it brings forth the crop, the wheat and the corn and so forth. And he talks about the difference in the flesh and such. You know, we saw that in verse 39. Verse 40, it talks about there being celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies. In verse number 48, and as is the earthy, such are they that are earthy, and as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly, and so forth. So we know that there's going to be a change, but how is that going to happen, and what is going to take place in that? Well, that's where the rest of the chapter comes into view here, and gives us a little bit of information there. And again, also referenced in 1 Thessalonians 4. So in verse number 51, it says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed." In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, in verse 13, it says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." So we see here in 1 Thessalonians 4, it says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren." And here in 1 Corinthians 15:51, it says, "Behold, I show you a mystery." And then he references here the sleep. We shall not all sleep. And in 1 Thessalonians 4:13, it says, concerning them which are asleep. And certainly we understand this to be those saints that have gone on before us, that have died, and are already present with the Lord. I find it interesting that in the scriptures, when we see the death referred to from a saint or from a saved person, the word sleep is used, for it's just temporary. Now, they are dead, and we know that from Jesus' account in John chapter 11. So if you want to turn over to John chapter 11 with me, this is the account of Lazarus. And in John chapter 11, John chapter 11, starting in verse 11, the word has come to Jesus that Lazarus has died. And Jesus, of course, he tarries, he waits, and here in verse 11, let me back up a little bit. I'll back up to verse number 4. When Jesus heard that he said, "This sickness." Never mind. Let's start right at the first verse. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, "Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick." And Jesus heard that. He said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that, saith he to his disciples, "Let us go into Judea again." His disciples say unto him, "Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again?" Jesus answered, "Are there Are there not 12 hours in a day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go, that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. So Jesus saying, we're going to go. He's asleep. We're going to wake him. I'm going to wake him. And they're like, well, if he's asleep, what's the big deal? He says, no. He ends up saying very plainly to them, Lazarus is dead. And so we see this in 1 Corinthians 15:51 and 1 Thessalonians 4:13. It's talking about those that have passed on before us. And here in 1 Corinthians 15:51, he says, we shall not all sleep. That means we're not all going to die before the Lord comes back. When the Lord comes back, there will be believers that are alive when he returns, when he comes to rapture us out. He says, but we shall all be changed. So we don't have to go through the actual death. Some people will be alive, whether the rapture takes place in our time frame or not. There will be believers that will be alive when the Lord comes to take the church home, and we and those people will be changed. And he says in verse 52, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. If you go over to 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13, we saw that we don't need to be ignorant concerning them that are asleep, those that have passed on before. And then he says that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. So there was some discrepancy as far as, you know, what happens to those that have already gone on before? What about them? And are those that are alive, are they preventing the Lord's return? Are they preventing the Lord from coming back? And he says, no. He says, the saints that are alive today are not preventing it, nor are they going to miss out on anything, the folks that have already gone on before. Those that are alive today, we know from 1 Corinthians 15:52, those that are alive at the moment the Lord returns, they will be changed in the twinkling of an eye. In verse number 52, it says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. We have no idea what that's going to be like. We have no idea what that's going to feel like. We have no idea how that's going to happen. What we do know is that it's going to happen so quickly. It's going to take place in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And then our corruptible bodies, the bodies that have suffered the effects of sin, the sickness, disease, and all that, they will be changed in the twinkling of an eye into that which is incorruptible. And it says in verse 53, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. In verse 52, he talks about the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. In 1 Thessalonians 4, it says 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 15, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So we know the dead in Christ shall rise first. And I heard my father-in-law preaching about this one time and talking about it. I said, why are the dead in Christ rise first? He goes, because they got 6 more feet to travel. They're coming up first, then we're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye, and we're all going to go and meet the Lord in the clouds, and so will we be with him forever. If you turn with me over to Philippians 3:21 says that we're going to be changed. In Philippians 3:21, Well, Philippians 3, let's start in verse 20. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. So notice this in verse 21, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. You know, we are given a glimpse of the change. We are given a glimpse of what's going to take place in verse 53 of 1 Corinthians 15. It says, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. But, you know, after that, we're not really given a lot of details. We know things about the Lord. After the Lord rose from the dead, after the Lord was glorified, we certainly know that he had a meal with his disciples. We know that people were able to touch him. We know that people were able to certainly recognize him, things like that. You know, some ask, you know, will we be able to recognize each other in heaven? Well, of course, yes, we will. And, you know, what is it going to be like? There's no night there. There's no time there. There's no, you know, what's it going to be like to go into eternity and just live forever and not have to worry about being sick, not have to worry about getting tired, not worry about hunger or disease or anything like that? We don't know, but it's going to be great. It's going to be good. I mean, it's certainly what we're looking forward to. And, you know, to think about life that is free from, or an eternity, I should say, that is free from the effects of sin is our minds just have a hard time comprehending that. I mean, we've dealt with sin from the day we were born. So, it's going to be an amazing thing to be in heaven with the Lord in a new and glorified body. In 1 Corinthians 15:54, it says, so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. I read this week as I was studying this. It says, sin is the parent of death and gives it all its hurtful power. You know, sin, we certainly know the struggles of sin. We know the effects of sin. And we also know in our bodies the effects that sin has had on our bodies as we're getting older and we don't keep moving the way that we used to move, and things hurt a little bit more. And I don't remember exactly what age it was, but there came an age where I was very cautious about falling down again. You know, I watch the kids, and you know, sometimes it seems like they fall on purpose and they want to roll around. They jump right back up and away they go and all that. And, you know, now I'm kind of careful about my next steps and what I do and so forth, you know. And, you know, as we get older and things are happening in our bodies are getting older and stuff, you know, it's all the effects of sin. Our bodies are affected by that. And so, you know, but when the Lord returns, he's going to change this body, and it's going to be an incorruptible body. It's going to be an immortal body, and it's going to be fit and designed and perfected to live in that perfect place that God has prepared for us. Let's see, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in 1 Thessalonians 4, it says this in verse 14. Verse 13. It says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. You know, I know that you've heard it. I know that you've probably even experienced it. But the death or the passing of a believer is so much different than the death or the passing of an unbeliever. You know, there's that peace. There's, you know, death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? You know, I've said this before, you know, I'm not afraid to die. I know where I'm going to go when I die. I'm a little bit afraid of the manner in which that might happen. You know, I'm not too sure how that's going to work, you know, but as far as dying, as far as death is concerned. And you know, the fear of death has been used throughout history to try to control and affect people. Most recently in our world, the COVID thing. There was a lot of stuff that was done and a lot of laws that were passed and a lot of things that were enacted simply because people were afraid to die. They were afraid of what was going to happen and so forth. And you know, as believers, not that we're going to rush towards it, but death, we shouldn't be fearing death. I remember being at the bedside of a brother in Christ as he was passing, and I didn't see it myself. I was standing back in the room, and the family was gathered around the bed. But all of a sudden, there was like this little hum of excitement. And his name is Rob. And Rob was a dear man. He was a deacon in our church, and he loved God so much. And he had cancer, and he was dying, and so it was taking a little while, and it was the evening that he was going to pass, and he wasn't awake or anything. He was just laying in bed, and all of a sudden, the biggest smile came over his face, just the biggest smile, and he just kind of like, for a moment, he just kind of lit up, and then he was gone. And I thought, man, what must he have just seen? What must he have just seen as that took place, you know? I remember being at the side of another bed, and this man, he had lived a long time in his life without the Lord. Thankfully, got saved near the very end of his life. But, you know, we're sitting there, and it was just Becky, myself, and his wife, and we were there at the bedside, and I was just praying. And you can hear him breathing. You can hear him laboring his breath and everything. And I'm praying. And then all of a sudden, there was just this peace. One final breath, and he was just gone. And it was just so amazing, you know. But unfortunately, I also had the opportunity to do funerals for those that didn't know the Lord. And boy, the grief and the anguish and the agony. And it's just such a different thing when that happens, you know. And we as believers, you know, we're not looking forward to death, but we are certainly looking forward to, you know, the eternal life that comes after that. And so death, it doesn't have to have a sting. It doesn't have to grip us like it does the unsaved world. It says in verse 57 of 1 Corinthians 15, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." You know, when we celebrate Easter and we celebrate Resurrection Sunday and that empty tomb, that's our hope of eternal life. Jesus rose from the dead, and we know that we shall rise also. And he is, you know, for those that have passed on, they're going to be, you know, their bodies are going to be resurrected, changed. They're going to be reunited with their spirits. We that are alive, you know, we're going to be changed in an instant, in the twinkling of an eye. And we are going to go to be with the Lord. And then in verse 58, it says this: "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." In 1 Thessalonians 4, in verse number 18, it says, "Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." You know, it's interesting that these two chapters end with these words. You know, as Christians, we're not just supposed to sit back and just wait for the return of the Lord. As Christians, you know, death doesn't have a sting. Oh, grave, there, you know, where is thy victory? You know, we know that God has given us the victory over sin, over death, over the grave, through our Lord Jesus Christ. But it doesn't mean that we just get saved and we just sit. There's still work to be done. There's things for us to do. And in 1 Thessalonians 4, we comfort one another with these words. Why? Because as we see things progressing and we see things getting worse, we need to comfort one another and assure one another and encourage one another in the fact that, you know, this world, you know, this isn't it for us. This is, in fact, if you're saved, this is really the worst that's ever going to be for you. You know, if you're unsaved, this could very well be the best it's ever going to be for you. But, you know, as Christians, you know, we need to encourage each other to keep going and to keep living for the Lord and keep being faithful, even as we see things progressing in a downward spiral, as far as the world is concerned, world philosophies and things like that. So the encouragement for us in verse number 58 is, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. If you look at 1 Peter chapter 5. First Peter chapter 5. If you look at verse number 6. 1 Peter 5, verse number 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. And then in verse 10 it says, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. You know, he says in 1 Peter 5 here, he talks about casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. You know, the things that would trouble us, the things that would bother us and worry us, we cast those things upon the Lord. He cares for us. But then the warning, be sober, be vigilant. You know, in 1 Corinthians 50:58, it said, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. You know, our adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast. We see that steadfast word again. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. You know, we are saved, and we cannot lose that salvation. But boy, the devil can sure give us some troubles. He can sure put us through some trials. He can sure try our faith. And, you know, what we need to do is we need to be steadfast. We need to resist the devil. And we also know that God will give us the strength and help us to go through these things. The Lord will not suffer us to be tempted above what we are able, but will, with the temptation, also provide a way of escape. You know, God is going to take care of us through those times of trial, through those things. What we need to do, we need to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. In Romans 8, verse 18, that'd be the last verse this morning. But Romans 8, in verse 18. Now, as you're turning there, 1 Corinthians 15:58, the last part of that verse, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And I want to leave you with this verse this morning, Romans 8, verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So keep that in mind. Comfort one another with these words, as 1 Thessalonians 4 tells us. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Because the work that we're doing for the Lord, it counts. It's, how does he word it here in 58, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So what we're doing, living for the Lord and living a life dedicated to the Lord. And as we see the day approaching, you know, we know that living for the Lord stands out more and more, and it's getting more and more ridiculed. It's getting more and more attacked. When you're trying to live for the Lord and live godly, it seems like there's more and more people turning and, just attacking and being just angry about that. But, you know, for I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. You know, that day's going to come. The trumpet's going to sound. The voice of the archangel is going to be heard. And we are going to be changed in a twinkling of an eye. And we will be with the Lord forever. Amen. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for our time this morning. Thank you for the truth of your word, and thank you, Lord, for the coming rapture, Lord, that when you will take us to be with you, and we will meet you in the clouds, and we will be with you forever. So, Lord, just help us as we are going through this life, in the times that we're living in, and the things that we're having to deal with. Lord, just help us to be steadfast. Help us to be unmovable. Help us to be abounding in your work. And Lord, help us to just keep in view that the day, Lord, when we're going to look upon your face, we're going to stand before you. So help us, Lord, in these days, Father, to just remain faithful, keep going, and just keep serving you, Lord. We just thank you for all that you have done. We just thank you for the care and the help that you give us on a daily basis. Thank you for all that you do for us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.